Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're going to start off singing that song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Sing it with me this morning. Well, when upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. And sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and it's made that we might be in it and be a part of it, that we might be a part of bringing glory and honor and praise to the name of Jesus. Father, I ask this morning as we gather together, as we've come to sing and to lift up the name of Jesus, the name above every name. God, you know every burden, every need, every situation in our heart. And God, there are some big ones today. But help us right now to just take every need and every struggle, every thought, oh God, of that heavy weight, and let us lay it at the foot of the cross. We might get our eyes from the burden and lift them up and see Jesus seated upon his throne making intercession for us today. God bless your people. Minister throughout this service, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, we appreciate you, and we give you our lives as we honor you in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to worship some more this morning with this chorus. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Sing with me this morning.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. I hope that's your heart's cry this morning. We're just here to lift up the name of Jesus this morning and exalt him, because he's worthy of our praise. Amen.
Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. And mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
I want you to think about that promise we just ended that course on. He's the powerful God. He's the Almighty. He's the strong tower. The things we've been preaching the last few weeks, He's all of that and so much more. He's a great God. Now, what's the promise that we have in Him? The promise of eternal life. Eternal life. If you're saved today, if you've given your heart to Christ today, you have life everlasting. It's not coming one day. It's in you today. The promise is there. The Spirit has sealed it within us. And so let hell and high water come. We're going to overcome. We're going to be the victors. We're going to win. We're going to win. We are the winners. The champion has already fought the fight. And He's given us the victory belt. Amen. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord together with you today. I'm glad that you're here. You've just about filled this place up again. Thank you so much for joining us today. And my prayer is that when we walk through those doors, we'll just sense the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. And I know it's in this place. I hear it. I see it as I move around. And I'm so glad that you're here today to experience Jesus. He's got so much for us. Just keep your heart open today. I want to take a moment this morning just to welcome any new friends that are here with us. If this is your very, very first time, you've not been to Nettles Island Church before, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. And at the end of the service, I'll be in the back corner, back right corner. It's your left corner right now, but when you turn around, it's right corner. And I'll be back there, and I've got a little gift, a little promise book that I want to give to you. It's our gift in our way of saying thank you for joining us today. By way of announcement, next Sunday evening is the Tribute Quartet. They'll be with us. They were here 2 years ago. We had a great, great time with them. We've got a little video clip that I just want to share with you, so to whet your appetite. They sang that last time. That was one of their newer songs, and I'm sure they'll sing it again. What a beautiful song. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Aren't you excited about the fact that we're not home yet? Boy, when we get there, it's going to be grand and glorious. No more problems. No more dark valleys, only mountaintop experiences in heaven. And so that's next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, doors will open at 4:30, and we want you to come and join us. There's not a charge. We will receive a special love offering and give whatever you want to give, and that'll go to a missions project, one of our missionary projects. Somebody has graciously already covered the cost of the concert, so we can do that. We're thankful for that. We appreciate that so very, very much. And so we want you to come on out. There are a couple of little flyers that are up on the bulletin board downstairs and a couple of different places. But invite somebody to join you. You will not be disappointed. This is one of the premier gospel quartets that's going around the country and having concerts around the country. So you want to be part of that. Amen. Well, this morning also is a very important day here at Nettles Island Church, because this is the morning that we are selecting. I shouldn't say we. Let me rephrase that. The Lord is selecting our three board members. We have 9 board members, and 3 are up for selection. And I'm going to invite Gary Holman to come on up. And I'm going to take this blue microphone, the blue one. And Gary's going to come up and he's going to explain the process and lead us through it this morning. So God bless you, Gary.
Thank you. Continuing on with the lead-in that Rob had just mentioned, today is Selection Sunday. This is a special and very important day for Nettles Island Church. Most of you know about this day from previous years. And there was information on the screen, and Pastor Rob mentioned it during last Sunday's service. However, for those of you that may be unfamiliar, let me briefly explain. Nettles Island Church Board has 9 members, and each serves for 3 years in staggered terms. Each year, 3 of the members' term expires, and on Selection Sunday, 3 new members are selected to fill the vacancies. The reason we use the term selection is because we ask the Lord to guide the hand of a member of the congregation and select the 3 names. This year, we have 4 persons for consideration to serve on the church board. It's very important to remember, when you're a Christian and you serve the Lord, it's always a win-win situation. God will select the 3 persons to serve on the church board, and he will also select 1 person to serve him in some other way. I will call each of the 4 persons in alphabetical order to come to the front of the church. Gay Cates will assist me. She will have the names of each person on a piece of paper. They will confirm their name, fold the paper in half, and fold it in half again, and then place it in the basket. Once all of the names are in the basket, Gay will mix up the pieces of paper. We have asked Jan Pennington to let the Lord work through her as she draws the names. So Jan, if you'll come up on stage, and Gay, if you'll come forward, let's get started. Bill Evers. Nancy Geerlings. Now, Nancy could not be with us this Sunday, so Gay will serve as her proxy. Joan Reinhold. Joe Schell. So if you'll each. Fold the paper in half and then fold it in half again and then place it in the basket. Now, if you mix up the I'll say a prayer. Just hold it up as we pray. Let us pray. Dear God, in this basket are the four persons that desire to serve you. We thank each of them for their willingness to step forward to serve so that your will be done. Now, God, the decision is yours. We pray that you will guide Jan's hand as you select the three persons that will serve on the church board and the other person that will serve you in some other way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joan Reinhold. Nancy Geerlings. Joe Schell. So let me introduce our new board members. Joan, Nancy, who is not here, and Joe, and Bill will be serving the Lord in some other way. Thank you. Now Pastor Rob will come and give us a prayer.
Hey, come on back here. Come on back here. I want you guys to face our congregation. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of them for their willingness to work. And if you ever get here early, you see how hard our board works for the Lord. They do it as an effort of great love and joy. It's not a burden to them. And I want to thank them for their interest and their willingness in being a part of the board and allowing these two have been on the board and they're serving another three-year term. Bill comes off this time. God has a purpose and a plan for everything. We thank you for your service. We thank you for all that you've done since I've been here in 3 years. He's been like an errand or a hurry. He's held my arms up. He's prayed for me. He's supported me. And I know he's going to continue to do that. And God's going to use you, Bill, and just expand the horizons differently, at least in this year. And we are going to miss you. We love you, and we appreciate all that you've done, all your support. And the rest of you guys will just keep the old motor running, right? And we'll add Nancy when she gets back. She's actually the new one that's coming on the board, has not served before. But I want you to stand with me. We've been seated a while. If you're able to stand, stand. And we're going to just pray over these folks today. We're going to thank the Lord for their lives and what God's got for the future for them. And that the anointing of God will rest upon them. Father, I thank you and I praise you today. Lord, first of all, for Bill and for his efforts and his labors and his love and his ministry as a the vice president of our board since I've been the pastor. And Lord, I am grateful for every moment that he's offered unto you. And Father, we don't see this as a slight. We see this as, God, you adjust our lives and you work in our lives and do different things. And God, new horizons and new beginnings come our way. And so, God, this is a year at least, or a season where it's changing for Bill, but we ask you to continue to bless him. Bless him for his past work and his efforts. Bless him, Lord, for the future and what you have in store for him. Let it be an exciting journey, Lord, as he sees the new opportunities and the new expressions that will come forth through this. And Father, we pray today that you will bless Joe and Joan and that you will bless Nancy. God, that your anointing will continue to rest upon them and that they will continue to do the work of the kingdom, advancing your kingdom here on Nettles Island and beyond. And Father, we just ask that this will be the greatest year that this church has ever had. Lord, it's not only board leadership ministers, but Lord, as we as a congregation support them and as we work together, as we pray hard, as we do our part, God, that this would be our best ever year. And so, Lord, we just give this all to you, and we thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and for your guidance and for your understanding, giving you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Love you. Bless you. Love you. Love you, John. Bless you. Amen. Amen. We've got a special by the Finneys and the Nixes today. Consider the Lilies.
Good morning, everyone. Got to get set up here. I'm sorry. Well, I wasn't supposed to play this guitar today, but I'm going to. Steve forced me a little bit. I let him get a chance to get his guitar on. On the web here, I was telling my son what I was going to sing today, and he's up here with me today, and he told me this came out of the book of Luke. And I believe he's correct. I heard that the other night on a little podcast. But it's great because it's Consider the Lilies. And what God says in that book, and I don't know the exact words, but no matter what you are, I think what the statement is and the idea is that we can be as small as a seed, as big as a tree, as big as the universe, but we're still important to him. And he watches every part of this world. And this is really what this song is about. Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin. And there's not a king that's more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't toil or sow. But they're fed by the master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you may I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the roses each morning with dew. Oh, but he's not too busy to care about you. Consider the heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the
And then you will know,
yes,
we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Yes,
consider the lilies, and then you will know.
Amen. Thank you so very much. What a beautiful song. It reminds us of how much the Lord loves and cares about all of us. We're going to go to prayer this morning, and some days just hit you really hard. Really hard. Walked into the service this morning, and about 5 minutes after, actually pulling into the parking lot as I was getting out of our vehicles, Cindy and I were getting out, was Dave and Pam. And Dave, I know that you're recording and you're back there, but I'd just like somebody to go put their arm on Dave's shoulder back in the back. He's back by the fireplace. Would somebody just reach out to Dave? Dave just received terrible news this morning that his granddaughter was killed early this morning in a car accident. We just want to remember him. He's hurting today, and Pam is a family and their family in Indiana. It's been a tough season for us with grandchildren and children. A lot going on. I don't have all the answers to all these kinds of questions. I know we ask why. Sometimes God gives us the answers, sometimes not. But what He does give us is His peace and His comfort and His rest. He's faithful. Just found out this morning that Joyce Pennington slipped and fell and broke some vertebrae in her back, and she's laid up. We're going to pray for her today too. And then added onto the bulletin some new names that are highlighted in bold: Tony Rizzo and Chris Mark City this morning, as well as all these other names. And all of you this morning say, I've got a burden today. I'm struggling today with something too. Listen, God's more powerful than any problem. Don't forget that. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. He promises, as I preached last week, He brings us through the floods and through the fires. We have a real enemy out here that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't forget that. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life more abundantly. So let's trust Him together this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to pray with David and Pam and believe that God's going to do a work there, that He's got a purpose in this, and it's going to be to glorify Him and to do something big in that family, as well as these other needs and your needs this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just bow our hearts again to You this morning. Lord, these men sang about considering the lilies, how You care for them. And if that's true, and we know that it is because it's written in Your Word, then God, we know that nothing happens in our life and in our world that is beyond Your care and concern and Your compassion. And so, Father, I lift up David and Pam to You this morning. God, I just pray that the power of God would begin to flow into their lives and into their families' lives back in Indiana, and that, God, in the midst of the shock of all that's going on this morning, that somehow, some way, that they would begin to feel the presence and the peace and the rest that only God, only You can bring to them. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would send Your Spirit to minister life and minister hope and minister strength into their very beings this morning. God, that You would comfort them. God, I know that the question of why will come up, and God, maybe there'll be an answer and maybe not, but Lord, I pray that this family will continue to keep their eyes on Jesus. Father, we just ask You to bless them and put Your arms around them today. Father, for Joyce Pennington, Lord, we pray over her this morning that you would begin to heal those vertebrae and begin to minister. Lord, just do an expediting of healing in her body and just take the pain, we pray, and make her whole. Father, for Tony and for Chris and for every other name on this list and for those that have come in today with burdens on their minds and in their hearts, oh God, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I just speak the name of Jesus over all of these burdens and needs today. For there's power in your name and there's healing in your name and there's victory in your name. And God, we just ask you to draw us ever closer. Lord, as this world seems to be spinning out of control and it feels like it's coming to an end, it probably is coming to an end. But we know the future, and we know that there's a new beginning that's coming for those that long for you and believe in you. And God, we trust you today. So help us to stand firm no matter what. Help us to be strong in the strength of God and the might of the Lord. Help us to just never give in and never give up, but just keep keeping on, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Father, minister today as only you can. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying with us and with David and Pam. And please keep all of these needs in your prayers this week. God is faithful and he does answer prayer. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 12, first of all, in just a few moments, if you want to get your Bible ready and go there. My message this morning is entitled, Fan or Follower, What It Means to Follow Jesus. How many NFL football fans are in the house this morning? Well, this is an important day for all of you then, isn't it? I'm sure that even though your favorite team may not be the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, we probably got some Lions fans here, probably some Bears fans here, maybe some Vikings fans here, definitely some Green Bay Packer fans, maybe some Bengal fans or Cleveland Brown fans, I don't know. And I don't, what's New York got? They've got the Bills, go Bills, right? They got robbed, I think. But most of you guys, and probably a good number of you ladies, I can just about, if I was a betting man, I'd win a lot because I know where you'll be tonight about 6:30 when Super Bowl 59 kicks off. And I know that we all have our favorite teams, and we're going to pick one to win over the opponent. Me, I'm picking Kansas City. Don't beat me up. The reason I'm from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh and Philadelphia don't get along very well. It's a good thing there's a mountain range in between. So I had to pick one. But really, quite honestly, it doesn't really matter to me if my team's not in. It's just going to be a fun night of fellowship for people. But you see, when you're a Super Bowl fan, or a football fan, the Super Bowl is the grand finale of football, isn't it? And so some will be in front of a 75-inch smart TV tonight eating pizza or brats and anxiously chewing your fingernails as you cheer on your favorite team of the two that you're choosing. But you know, football or any other sport for that matter wouldn't be anything without its fans, would it? They wouldn't even have football if nobody went to the games and paid money and paid for the tickets to sit in the stands and watched on television with all the commercials that pay for all of that. Wouldn't be anything without that. But fans are known to be fickle. It's one of the characteristics of fans. It kind of goes with the territory. Let me give you an example this morning. Let me tell you a story about George Herman Ruth, a legendary baseball player who's regarded as one of the greatest sports heroes in American culture and is considered by many to be the greatest baseball player of all time. In 1936, Babe Ruth was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame as one of its five first inaugural members. Babe Ruth was in on the beginning. But as Babe Ruth approached the end of his stellar career, he was striking out more than he was getting hits. And his play had deteriorated to the point that the fans would often boo him. He'd get up and he'd swing, he'd strike out, and the whole stadium would just be boos. He was playing in Cincinnati one day, and after striking out, the fans booed loudly as Babe walked dejectedly back to the dugout. But suddenly a small boy, tears running down his face, we don't know why, but he runs out onto the field and he throws his arms around Babe's legs. Ruth looked down, he smiled at the boy, and he reached down and he picked him up into his arms, talking to him as he continued to the dugout. And all of a sudden in the stands where all the boos were coming, the booing stopped and the fans, touched by this spectacle, suddenly stood silent in their tribute. Fans can be fickle. In an instant, in a moment, it doesn't take the whole game for a fan to go from cheering to booing, from happy to sad, glad to mad. One moment they're cheering, then they're booing, and one moment they're standing in respectful tribute, and the next they're nowhere to be found. This morning, the same thing happened over and over at times to Jesus. The fans, the crowds that would come around him as he entered Jerusalem, and they cheered him. On that Palm Sunday, he was riding the colt, the donkey, and as he comes in, they're grabbing their coats and their garments, and they're grabbing the palm fronds, and they're throwing them down, making a layer in front of him, and they're cheering him and hailing him as King of the Jews. And then 5 days later, that same crowd is standing there in the praetorium, and they're out there listening to the high priests and the leaders of the Jews, and they're following them, and they're shouting with everything that they have, "Crucify him! We don't want him anymore." Fans can be fickle. They can turn on you on a dime. Well, this morning I want to share with you part one of this message that helps us to relate to the difference between fans and followers of Jesus. There's a difference between the two. And this morning, the question that I want to challenge you with, and I want to challenge me with, is, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? You're here in this church service today. You're not at the beach. You're not out in the pool. You're not at the mall trying to get an early start on everybody else. You're here this morning, so that puts you in the camp that we're talking about. You are here this morning as either as a fan or as a follower. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, in Luke chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, Jesus said this. He said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." There are a lot of alls in there, aren't there? "And love your neighbor as yourself." So you better love yourself this morning. If you look in the mirror and you can't stand you, you better get over that. Because if you don't love you, you can't love a neighbor. It's right here. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus went on to say, there's no commandment greater than these. In other words, if we do those two things, if we love God, and then if we will love people, we will then have fulfilled all the other commandments that are there. I won't steal. I won't lie against you. I won't cheat you. I won't do things to you. I won't think bad thoughts about you if I'm loving you as I love myself, but as I'm loving God with my alls that are there. So basically it comes down to two things. You want to know how to live a Christian life? Love God and love people. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not simple to do, simple to understand. And so God is challenging us today to do that. But notice here just how we're to love God with all that we've got. We don't just give God a token of our time. We don't just give God just a moment, a little blip of this, a little blip of that. But we are to love him with everything that we have. And if you're like me, you can increase your love. I know that I have more room to grow in my love for God. And so I make that a matter of prayer. And I ask God, God, help me to love you more. Increase my capacity so that tomorrow I love you more and better than I love you today. The Bible says, love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. You see, God's instruction to us in this scripture is that we are to become wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. All in with every part of our being. Nothing less than 100% in. Full devotion. You see, here's the kicker. 95% devotion to God and keeping a little part of our heart back, that 5% short, is not what will work. It's going to not make you a follower. You're going to still be a fan of Jesus Christ. 95% isn't what God's after. He's after all of your heart. He's after all of your life. He's after all of you. He wants you to say, Lord, I'm all about you. You've saved me and you've redeemed me and you purchased me and you've made a place for me in heaven. My name is in your book and I have no doubt that I'm going to heaven. So here's my life. Take it and use it any way you want. You lead my day. You guide me. And you direct me. Mark 12 tells us that God requires us to love him with all that we've got, to be growing in our faith walk, and as we learn and as we become all that God wants us to be. You see, I'm not there yet, but you're not there yet either. You've not arrived to that perfect place. We won't until we are in that rapture, or if God calls us home before the rapture. But when we get those new bodies, they're going to be perfect, and I'm going to be perfect, and you're going to be perfect. But God is calling us not to settle in and not to just simply say, hey, all I care about is that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I'll live my life my way. I'll do things my way. I'll keep my thoughts. No, he wants us to be becoming and maturing and growing up in him each and every day of our lives. Jesus is looking for wholehearted believers who will obey what he has taught and will follow his example. How he lived when he walked on the shores near the Sea of Galilee and when he walked the streets of Jerusalem. Now, there's lots of discussion among pastors and theologians these days about the state of the church in America. And I can tell you from experience just last month being in Peru and being in a church that I think is really on its way to doing things the way that the Bible wants churches to do it, that the churches in America have a long way to go. We do. What's the state of the church? Pastors, theologians, writers write about this. Is the church dying in America? Is it filled with consumers of religious service? What can God do for me rather than disciples of Jesus? Are we spectators at religious events on Sundays? Or are we participating in God's kingdom all week long? Are we followers? Or are we just fans? Now, in defining our personal relationships with Jesus, imagine this. This is just a makeup thought, but just imagine with me this, that you're sitting in your favorite coffee shop, and it's probably not Starbucks, right? Unless you're Cindy. Cindy loves Starbucks. Man, I'm telling you. You got to love coffee to love Starbucks. I'm a Dunkin' guy. Imagine you're sitting in Starbucks or Dunkin' or whatever coffee shop is your favorite, and Jesus comes in. He sits down next to you. He says, it's time that we define this relationship that we have together. And he wants to know how you feel deep in your heart about him. Is your relationship with him just a casual weekend thing, or is it something that is much deeper than just supporting an hour of church and you know, come what may in that service? What exactly, he's asking, what exactly is the level of your commitment? Are you following after him? Does your heart beat for him? Do you long for him? Are you chasing his presence like we've been talking about since the beginning of this year? Now, right away, we automatically think, well, of course I'm a follower of Jesus. We think of all the obvious indicators. Well, I go to church. I raised my hand one day when the preacher asked if I wanted to receive Christ, whenever that was, a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever. I raised my hand. I own 3 or more Bibles. Oh, I grew up going to church camps and VBSs. On your Facebook page under religious views, you're listed as Christian. Now, this won't resonate with some of you from Michigan, okay, but just stay with me. You say, bless your heart, before speaking badly about somebody else. That's a Southern thing. And not to get into it and get on a rabbit trail, but I used to do a lot of traffic when I was in law enforcement. There was a season when I was a motor officer, and so that's what I did. I just pulled people over and ruined their day. And I had more than one time in my life where people said to me, "Well, bless your heart, officer." And I knew they weren't blessing me. Now, I know Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, North Dakota, New York, all the North. We don't say that, but I learned that. We say, "Bless your heart," before we speak badly about somebody. And then we say, "Well, look, I do all those things. Am I a follower of Jesus?" Well, duh. But actually, listen to me, actually all those things show is that you belong to the Christian subculture. You identify yourself as a Christian. You're in that subculture. You can belong to that culture. You can sit in church even twice on Sunday, some people do, and once on Wednesday night, and you can still just be a fan and not a follower. So what's the difference between fans and followers of Jesus? That's our quest today, and we'll get into that a little bit, not much, but next week we're going to really hit that part of it. What's the difference? How do I know which one I really am? So to answer the question, let's go to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John in your Bibles, John chapter 6. And I want to review an event that John wrote about that involves Jesus and a large group of people. So let me start this thing before we get to the scriptures. A large crowd, thousands of people, they're listening to Jesus as he's teaching near the seashore of Galilee. And just ignore that for a minute. We'll get to that. I'm going to read that in a minute. At the end of the day, Jesus decides to feed them, the feeding of the 5,000. You know the miracle. You know the story there. And he takes his small boy's sack lunch, this happy meal lunch, and he feeds over 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And when people saw what Jesus had done, they get really impressed, and they want to make him king on the spot. Wow, what a miracle. He fed us. You should be our king. Imagine having a king that can multiply happy meals and provide free food for everybody. How awesome is that, right? And so Jesus knew what they were thinking, that they were going to try to force him to be the king. And so he slips away from out of the crowd as the sun is setting, and he moves around the lake, and he walks around to the other side of the lake shore. And the next morning is the crowd, they didn't even go home. They just bedded down right there, slept on, you know, a rock for a pillow or whatever it might have been, thinking, "This is great. We found the guy that's going to feed us. We don't even have to go back to work." The next morning, they realize that Jesus isn't there amongst them, and they begin to walk around and search until they find him on the far side of the lake, and they ask Jesus for another meal. Why are they pursuing him? And Jesus makes it clear that they're looking for the wrong thing. They're searching him out for the wrong thing. Let's put the scripture up. And he replies to them, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." There is so much that's packed into that, and I don't have time to go long into that this morning. I've got to move along, but they're chasing him because they want the physical. "Bless me, Lord. Oh, I'll serve you if you'll bless me. I'll serve you if you feed me. I'll serve you if you give me more money in my bank account. I'll serve me if you give me that, oh, I just love Ferraris. If you give me a red Ferrari. Oh, I'll serve you." And that's what they're doing. That's what's happening here. And he stops them in their tracks and he says, "Guys, you got it all wrong. You're spending your life on things that are going to just evaporate when the world comes to an end. Spend your life advancing my kingdom. Spend your life seeking hard after me. Spend your life serving me because that's eternal and that lasts forever." They're looking for a free lunch. Jesus says, hey, the buffet line's closed. You missed the point. Stop thinking about food and start thinking about eternal life that I have come to give to you. And they continue to miss the point, and they continue to ask him to feed them. And when Jesus tells them about the bread of God that gives life to the world, they said, oh, okay, well, give us that bread. They're still thinking it's physical bread. It's going to be another happy meal. In verses 32 through 34, they still aren't getting it. And then in verse 35, it says Jesus replies to them. He's trying to explain it to them so that they go from fan to follower. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Talking about spiritual matters. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He will satisfy our hunger. He will satisfy our thirst. The world chases after things because they're never, ever satisfied. But once you find Jesus and he becomes Savior and Lord of your life, and you begin to put one foot in front of the other and you pursue his presence, you will never be hungry or thirsty again. But this isn't what they wanted to hear. And the people begin to grumble. They want food that they can eat today and satisfy their stomach pain. They want that another happy meal lunch, not some mumbo jumbo about Jesus being the bread of life. And so they're not happy and they start to complain. And rather than smoothing this out and Jesus saying, okay, let me rephrase it. Maybe I was a little hard there. Instead of doing that, he doesn't do that. He goes on to say in verses 53 through 55, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. You cannot. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person up at the last day. Boy, that's a promise of God. Nobody who's in Christ is going to spend eternity away from him. He's going to raise us up on that last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He's not talking about sitting around on a communion Sunday in church somewhere here. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying take communion. He is not saying become a cannibal and come and try to find some remains of me somewhere and gnaw on that for a while. What he is saying, unless you get me into your inner soul, in your spirit, and my spirit comes and dwells within you, you cannot be saved. You will lose out, not only in life, but in all of eternity. You will be the loser unless you partake of me completely. Unless you ingest me spiritually, this is a spiritual thought, nothing physical about it. And he's saying, unless you bring me in and allow me to take your heart and have your heart and control your heart 100%. I know we're not all there, but we've got to desire that 100%. We can't go, well, I've got my fire insurance in my pocket here. I said a prayer when the pastor said, bow my head and say these words, and it never went from here to here. This is what he's talking about. Unless you get radical in your spiritual life and say, I want Jesus more than anything. I'll serve him. I will follow him all the days of my life. You're not getting it. When Jesus spoke these words, guess what? That was it. The crowd looked at him and said, we're not following that. That's too crazy. Not only was the buffet line closed, but now Jesus is talking crazy. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. What's he thinking? And they totally missed the point, the spiritual side of what he was really saying. And the key is in verses 66 and 6 through 68. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and they deserted him. Do you see that? All that crowd, they left. There was almost probably close to 20,000 people and they just left. Then Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks, are you going to leave? Simon Peter replied, and this has got to be our reply this morning, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words. You are life eternal. You're the only one that can bring us into heaven for all of eternity. The fans deserted him. The fans left, but not the followers. They were determined to stay the course and continue on with Jesus, watching him do the will and the works of the Father. And as they watched him, they began to grow in their faith and in grace as he taught them and he led them by his example. And they were growing. And we know the story of the 12 the apostles or the 11, and then they pick Matthias. Judas is long gone. But these guys go on and they bring us through all the way. We see it in the New Testament. They bring us through. They weren't fans. They were followers of Jesus. Fans desert him when times get tough, but followers will stick with it. And those who wanted to make him king yesterday now walk away and they're grumbling and they're unhappy. They only wanted Jesus for the handouts. And the truth of the matter is folks, there are folks today that come to Jesus only because of what some preacher or some teacher has promised them that he will do for them. Prosper me. Make me happy. Take away all my pain and my sorrow. Only give me sunny days and mountaintops, God. If you'll do that, I'll follow you. But when the difficulties and the trials of life roll in, they become disillusioned and discontented, and they desert Jesus looking for their best life now somewhere else. Fickle fans. Always looking at the hands of Jesus. What can he give me? What can he do for me? What can he give me? Oh, I'll go to church if he answers this prayer this way. I'll give this money if he does this way. But they never look to the face of Jesus. They never say, Lord, let me see your face. Let me know your heart. Let me become more like you. Listen, church, don't be the person that just follows after his hands and what he can do. Be all in. Love God with all your heart, not because of what he will or could do for you today, but because of what he's already done, because of the cross, because he's already saved you and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Keep your eyes on the prize. What's the prize? Prize is heaven. Prize is eternal life that awaits faithful followers. Be like Peter and remind yourself that only in Jesus is there eternal life. You know what I find interesting in this story as I close this morning? Jesus didn't chase after them. He didn't stand up on a high hill or on a rock and go, hey, wait a second. He didn't say any of that. He didn't soften his message to make it more appealing. Jesus was okay with the fact that his popularity took a big hit. You see, it wasn't the size of the crowd that Jesus was concerned about. It was the level of their commitment. And so the question of the day that we've got to ask ourselves is this, what's the level of my love and my commitment towards Jesus? You have to ask yourself that. I have to ask myself that this morning. Where am I at? What level am I at? Am I still a fan? Am I truly, have I stepped into following? Yeah, I still need to grow, but am I following? Am I all in or am I just after the blessings that he can give me? Am I seeking to become more like Jesus? Or do I just want to live life my way, do things my way, but still gain heaven one day? We're going to pick up part two and understand this a little bit more, what it takes to be a follower next Sunday morning. But would you pray with me? Father, we just bow our hearts and our heads this morning. God, I know that this is not one of those easy, comfortable messages. But we all know about football fans and baseball fans and hockey fans and tennis or whatever the sport might be. We know what fans are like. They're with you one minute and they're against you the next. And God, we'll see even next week another situation where fans turned and walked away. So it's possible today that we could be sitting in this service. We could be all in right at the moment. Maybe life is good. Maybe we just feel excited. But God, let there be a raging river come our way. Or let there be a great forest fire that we have to navigate through. And God, that could turn all things if we're fans. And so I pray over this congregation. I pray over my own life. I pray, God, that we would be people that would be followers of Jesus with all of our heart. God, that right now in this place, if there's somebody that says, I know that's not where I'm at, God, you don't let them be guilted. Don't let them be dejected. Let them just say, Lord, I need to change. I need to repent of that, and I need to become a follower. And Lord, right now in this service, I choose you, and I choose to become a follower. Help me to give you all of my heart. Help me to make you first and foremost in everything in my life, everything that I do. Be the most important element, person in my life. For Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my life. God, if there's somebody here today that they've never asked Jesus into their heart, right now I pray that they would simply say these words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I confess that I've been unrighteous. I've failed your holiness. I've lived an unholy life. But today, I by faith, I look to the cross. I look to what Jesus did. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I receive you today as my Savior and as my Lord, and I want to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, let no one leave this place not knowing Jesus today, not having the assurance that their name is in the book of life in heaven, and that one day they'll enter into heaven when they die or when you return. Father, bless this congregation. God, carry us through with the needs we've prayed for today already. Just carry us through. Help us advance in this week. Keep us close to you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing our closing anthem today as we sing the Lord's Prayer together. And just sing it with all of your heart. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life as it's done on earth. Sing it.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. May God bless you and be with you. Have a wonderful week. You are dismissed.